Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dragons do not do well in captivity.
How do you know this?
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
Now.
The god has been given a second chance.
On the Damon Bruce Show.
There will not be a third.
It's post-game.
The real war is between the living and the dead.
Of Thrones.
And make no mistake. The dead are coming.
Last night's episode, Blood of My Blood. It was a pretty good one. It really was. Lots of old characters coming back into play in this episode. Let's hop right into it. And we pick up almost immediately where we left off of the Hodo episode. Mira running away from the White Walkers. Bran is still warging on the door or whatever they're dragging him on. And so he's like the new Third Eye Raven. And we're getting just tons of cutback and flashback scenes and flash forward scenes. Some of the stuff, Dan, we've seen before. Other stuff we haven't. Like we see Ned Stark's beheading. Then we see like the Mad King and Jaime and cuts a wildfire. So awful lot going on in that flashback sequence alone.
He's straight warging.
He's warging it, man. Just when things are dire and they're about to die from the wildings that are, or not the wildings, but the White Walkers that are coming down on them, out of nowhere, a rider shows up. And for the second time this season, a rider shows up to save two people in the woods out of nowhere, which means George R.R. Martin's definitely not writing anymore and HBO's getting a little lazy. It's a little cheesy to have the rider out of nowhere save these two in the middle of the entire expanse behind the wall. He just happened to be there. Well, maybe it's because he is the new Third Eye Raven Bran is. And we have, new character alert, even though he's been referenced all the way back in the very first episode, Uncle Benjen Stark is the one who shows up to milk rabbit blood for warm Bran cocoa, I guess.
And good for all three meals.
There you go. So that is how they got out of that mess. We then go south of the wall. We got Sam and Gilly traveling to Sam's house, and he's loaded. He's in the Hillsborough of Westeros, Dan, making some money over there, right?
You could see he was eating well his whole life.
Definitely. He's nervous to meet his father, and we see why. The father is insulting him at dinner, saying that he's a fat loser, even though he's about to be a maester. Gilly, who, by the way, got a makeover.
Hello.
And looked good. Like, it's like the Swan on ABC.
Stock up, Gilly.
Gilly stock through the roof. She defends him, which makes the stock go up even more, you know. Says that, hey, your son's braver than you'll ever be. And then there are all kinds of bad feelings that come out at the dinner table because she's from north of the wall. And, well, they hate those types there, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bigotry for the northerners. So Gilly basically throws down a, this is going to be an uncomfortable moment. It was uncomfortable. They get up from the table and leave. And they decide, we just got to get out of the situation. So they steal the family sword, Heartsbane.
Valyrian steel.
Valyrian steel, exactly. The father swore he would never have it. He's got it now. He and Gilly and the baby are all leaving under the cover of the darkness of night.
Not thrilled with that whole plot line, but that was an interesting twist.
It was an interesting twist. They need to do something with those two. Do something.
Your boy needs to hit the weight room, but I digress.
Don't worry about that later. We all need to hit the weight room. King Tommen and High Sparrow meeting in the Red Keep, and then he says, you want to talk to Marjorie, who's been in, you know, captivity this whole time? He gets to talk to Marjorie, does King Tommen. And Marjorie, who's about to take her walk of atonement, can we get the shame bell out? Can we get a little shaming for Marjorie? She's, by the way, she wouldn't take this walk, but I love the bell so much, I want to hear it. Marjorie's about to take her walk of shame, but Tommen goes and speaks with her. And she's sold on religion. At least that's the way she's playing it.
Right.
That's the way she plays it to Tommen. And it's probably a good thing because in the meantime, this prevents a huge brawl breaking out between the Holy Army and the Army of the House Tyrell right before her scheduled Walk of Atonement.
Shame.
Oh.
Shame. Shame.
The real shame is that we get no nudity in this scene whatsoever.
I was going to say,
come on!
Jamie, butt out!
There is no walk of atonement, and the surprise is the king comes out, and it seems like a peace has been struck, but with a High Sparrow definitely taking the upper hand for now. Even cool Grandma Tyrell says, we lost for now. War is totally coming here. Something is about to pop off. Jaime, by the way, is going to be leaving King's Landing to go fight at River Run.
Uh-oh.
What's going on with River Run, you say? Well, Walder Frey. Hello again, old friend. Walder Frey is angry. His soldiers have lost River Run to Blackfish. He demands the men return and take it back using Edmure. We have a reoccurring character for the first time in a long time as the bait. Another character returns after an extended season absence. Lord Edmure Tully, who was taken into captivity at the Red Wedding. He is in play once again. He is there. Walder Frey, we haven't seen him since the Red Wedding. So this is all interesting coming back into play characters.
He hasn't gotten a haircut since the Red Wedding.
He hasn't, but he wasn't slaughtered, so advantage him, right? Arya, meanwhile, she's supposed to kill the actress playing Cersei in the play about her own family's rise and fall. By the way, the play within the show is kind of cool. The way that they handled the play within the episode is really, really good. It's like a recap of this first couple of seasons. The show itself handles this all very, very well. So she puts the poison in the cup of the actress she's supposed to assassinate, but then, of course, has like a little heart-to-heart with the woman, decides not to kill her after all. She slaps the cup of poison away, points out who actually did it, and it was the actress with a really hot rack from the episode before, and leaves the faceless man, obviously, the faceless many-named god, whatever, the many-faced god, is not going to be pleased with all this. Little skater henchman girl sees it all, reports back, and he basically says, all right, well, you know, if she's not going to finish her assassination training, this is the second time we've assigned her something and she changed her mind at the end. She got to go.
Just don't make her suffer.
Don't make her suffer. Arya, however, and I don't know why she gave up on this. Maybe it was because she saw the play and was inspired to go back and, you know, fight for the family business, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes and gets Needle, her little sword that she buried. And we'll see what happens. It looks like her and skater girl henchman chick are about to throw down in some sort of way.
Skater girl's minus 250, by the way, in that fight.
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, you know, Skater girl had a really weak regular season and kind of had a rough, you know, an easier go of it. Well, Arya's been taking out the Thunder.
It's a great point.
I think I'm getting my topics mixed up.
I'm with you, though.
Let's go to the big rally ending hall pep rally with a dragon finale. We get Daenerys wandering the desert, a week away from Meereen, hanging out, walking. You're a conqueror, Daenerys Stormborn, says her buddy there. And basically, for the first time ever, she has an idea that doesn't get her like kidnapped or taken or stolen or assassinated or burnt or something forever. She's like, hold on, everybody. Even though I got an army with me, I'm going to go up around the bend all by myself. No advanced scouting. Trust me on this one. Well, we know why she feels so good about it. Around the bend is Drogon the dragon, who is three times as big as we've seen him in previous episode. He's a monster. She gets on the back, does a victory lap, lands, and then just basically swoops down and holds a pep rally about riding wooden horses across the salt sea. All the Dothraki are fired up. Fade to black. That was the episode.
It was like Al Pacino in Any Given Sunday. We fight for that inch.
Every inch around us. I will have a fire-breathing dragon at every inch.
She's pretty good.
She was fighting for inches. She goes full Pacino. What didn't I like about this episode? Well, you got no Theon, no Tyrion, no Jon Snow, no Sansa, no Onion Knight, no Baelish, no Red Witch. All my favorite characters, basically, were left out of this one so we could get in touch with all these other characters and old characters brought back into the mix and the fold and so on and so forth. There really is just too much going on now in this series. All episodes need to be 90 minutes. Can we get more?
I know.
Can we? We either need to have less slow, dramatic scenes and just like chop, chop through it. Let's go. or we need longer episodes. What we do get, though, are key players all positioning themselves for battle. Things are about to pop off, Dan, in Westeros.
Well, you've got, they got a Starks trying to get their little home back from, what's-his-face, Ramsay.
Ramsay.
The butcher.
Yeah.
But Ramsay's got the Starks' little brother. And Bran's going to get his third eye action into play here pretty soon.
He's like the third eye blind. He's got a hit or two he's about to release.
My takeaway, Dragonglass in the heart is like emergency. It'll cure you real quick.
It does cure you. We might have now learned how you cure a White Walker. Little dragon glass.
Right in the heart.
Right to the corazon.
Yes.
Yowls. It's a downtown. Clay Thompson with a dragon glass.
Yes.
By the way, you either really appreciated this segment or you hate it with your full heart that doesn't have any dragon glass in it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.